Technorama episode 523, Stardust Smoothie?
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hello, I'm from a mirror universe. Where can I find out more about this place?
Over there, in the media corner.
There are no mirrors.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
I haven't seen any mirrors in that mirror universe yet.
I know, right?
Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you very much. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and if you're returning back, I'm still Chuck Tomasi.
Turning back?
If you're returning back. It's like that's right. You get the 10-cent deposit if you're returning.
Yeah.
Joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm great. And I'm excited. I want to see another hour of Star Trek.
Yes, this would be more fun to mainline, but we have to take it as it comes.
You know, these episodes, especially now that things are starting to pick up steam towards the, you know, as we go towards the end, yep. It's like every episode, right when it ends, I'm like, no, don't end there.
I want to like see just a little bit more. Right. And just off camera is my lovely wife, Donna Tomasi. She is doing the camera work for us tonight. Thank you very much. Here, we'll... Someone said recently, give her more credit. So there we go. She does a lot more.
Oh, that was some feedback we got from a listener.
Yes. Give your wife more credit.
Let's see. Who was that? D. Tomasi on Twitter. Okay.
I want to jump into some feedback real quick. We had a good conversation going today on Facebook.
Letters.
Oh, we got letters.
We got letters.
We get your letters.
Did you say wieners?
Wieners? Yeah.
Well,
that's a whole other show.
Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman.
The Enterprise is bringing in some mail. That's Data playing on the ops.
Incoming signal on subspace communications. We asked you, what TV show has the best theme song? And we heard back from John Noble, who said, The Addams Family. Very
That's
good,
a good
answer.
One.
Mike Will said The Deadliest Catch. He couldn't remember. He said, what's that song with Wanted Dead or Alive?
Yeah, well, that's it.
That is,
that's it.
You know, I don't think that song aligns with that show. I just don't understand.
No, but the video montage that they have at the intro, I think it works.
With
the song, but
I don't
you're
know.
Right.
I think that song belongs in the 80s and leave it there. I just don't care for it.
Or the guy with steel
opening.
Horses, maybe in the future.
Yeah, his steel horse is a boat. So I
think it works.
Rob Reel says Airwolf, just effing Airwolf.
Yeah, okay.
Joel Harper says SWAT. I have to agree. That was one of the first shows I remember back in the
70s.
I
remember that one.
Thinking... That was that, and my original answer, Mission Impossible, were two songs that could get me energized up. I mean, they were sort of the Eye of the Tiger of my time, if you will.
Right.
Get you pumped up. Doug Schultze from work says A-Team. Jack Mangan says Doctor Who, Barney Miller, Knight Rider. He can't settle
on
one.
We said name one.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
Or does he play them all at the same time?
Backwards.
Yeah.
T. Morris says Star Trek. He's got a good point. And I think he's going with the original. He says it's so iconic. Dan Charette says Highlander. There was a TV series for Highlander. I don't know that. I didn't know that.
Didn't
and
know
I
that?
Don't know the song.
Wait. You didn't ever watch the Highlander TV show?
No. There should have been one movie and only one. There can be
No, the TV show was pretty good. There were some Some stuff in it was good.
Okay. Yeah. Some stuff. Thomas Hausman writes Hawaii 5-0 or Mission Impossible. We actually had Hawaii 5-0 on a 45, like a little black vinyl disc. And we play it at 78, along with about two dozen other 45s. And then you played at 45 and it sounds slow. And then we'd slow it down to 33 just for fun. Boom, 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 boom. Jonathan Strickland writes in.
Hey, you sound like one of those Muppets.
Jonathan Strickland writes, Peter Gunn.
That's also pretty classic, yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. YouTube can't catch us for these because we can't sing them. Gary Lindros writes the A-Team. He just wanted to beat Crazy Joe to the punch, but he didn't beat Doug Schultz.
Right.
And then Crazy Joe writes back right away, WKRP, if you ever wondered whatever happened to Crazy Joe.
Cincinnati.
Another one from work, Diana Lewis says, Mission Impossible was the best, but Andy Griffith was the catchiest. Yes. I like that. Justin Deal says Night Court. I have to admit, I don't remember the theme song to Night Court. I'm sure I would want to hear it, but I just can't recall it offhand.
Yeah, it was kind of I want to say it was a different, it wasn't like yeah, never mind. I'm not going to try and explain it.
JT Shea writes Bonanza. Dun, 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 and one very similar one is The Lone Ranger, which is William Tell Overture. Dueling banjos. That would be a good one.
Dueling horses. All right. Yeah.
Rob Real comes back with another one. He says the original Battlestar Galactica.
Hey, only one suggestion per user.
Marty DeFont. Well, tell that to Jack. Marty DeFont says Ground Forces from England featuring the Black Dyke Brass Band.
Uh-oh. Kudos crossing the pond
for
on
the,
this one.
For the most... You distance? Got me on that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter Lisa writes in The Andy Griffith Show.
Yes.
Anyway,
one of my favorite TV shows.
And one of the last ones that I was able to capture before the show started. CJ writes in with Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Which is actually Billy Joel. My life. I like
it. So what did you have, Chuck?
I put down Mission Impossible. I think I said that when we closed out last show.
Okay.
I'm looking to see if there's anything in the chat room. Nope, not offhand.
Well, I would technically go with Andy Griffith because that's, like I said, that's one of my favorite TV shows.
And you're from the South.
Yeah. I also like Gomer Pyle. Favorite.
Okay. I like it. We don't need to roll our D20s today. We're going right into the history.
Oh.
Yeah. On this day in history for January 17th, 2018, this is the 17th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 348 days remaining in 2018. It was on this date in 1773 that Captain James Cook commands the first expedition to sail south to the Antarctic Circle.
Antarctic. It was also on this date in 1899 that the United States takes possession of Wake Island in the Pacific Ocean.
It was on this date in 1912 that Captain Robert Falcon Scott reaches the South Pole 1 month after Roald Amundsen. Wait,
what? Such a disappointment
He gets to the South Pole and there's a sad trombone.
Yeah, one guy left behind so he could play it. On January 17th, 1917, the United States pays Denmark $25 million for the Virgin Islands. Sounds like a deal.
Wonder what they're worth today. Probably a lot more than that.
But it's probably a lot less to just vacation there.
Yeah, that's how much it costs these days to vacation there.
Right.
Also on January 17th, 1929... Popeye the Sailor Man cartoon was created by E.C. Segar. He first appeared in Thimble Theater comic strip. Wow.
It's hard to believe that Popeye's that old.
1929, so he's 89 years old.
That's right.
Looks pretty good.
And 21 years ago today, Cape Canaveral Air Force Station A Delta 2 carrying a GPS-2R satellite explodes 13 seconds after launch, dropping 250 tons of burning rocket remains around the launch pad.
Well, hey, that's a lovely thought.
Not my job. I'm not cleaning it up.
I'm sorry, that one about Popeye reminded me of the guy we interviewed at Dragon Con. What do you think of olive oil?
Yeah.
Happy birthday goes out of this day to German physicist, physician and botanist, Leonhard Fuchs, born on this date in 1501.
Be careful saying this.
That's right.
Robert Flood, the English physician, astrologer, mathematician, was born 444 years ago today. Wow.
Hey, the computer does the math. I just write the program.
Wonder if he's a listener.
Born January 17, 1706, American publisher, inventor, and politician, sixth president of Pennsylvania, Benjamin Franklin.
Polish mathematician and academic, Antoni Lomnicki.
My Polish ain't so good.
And the L has a little
a line through it. Yeah.
That's weird. Lomnicki. Okay, we'll go with that. Born on this date in 1881.
Born January 17th, 1886, American pilot and businessman who co-founded the Glenn L. Martin Company. You can guess his name. It's Glenn L. Martin.
It's George Steve.
I think didn't Martin become Martin Marietta and now is part of Lockheed Martin?
I do not know.
And I think so. There's a history somewhere.
Yeah. Neville Shute. English. Watch out. English engineer, author, was born on the same date in 1899.
American actress, game show panelist, television personality, and animal rights activist. That's a resume. Betty White is 96 today.
Yes. And Vidal Sassoon, English-American hairdresser and businessman, was born on the same date in 1928.
Vidal Sassoon. Oh. I love a good Saison beer.
As you can tell, I'm using this product.
Yeah. Now. Also born on the same date in 1931, American actor James Earl Jones, Darth Vader.
I just watched Field of Dreams for the first
Mufasa.
Time. American actress, puppeteer, ventriloquist, and television host. Sherry
Lewis.
Never seen it spelled that
lamb
way.
Lamb chops. Sherry Lewis. Yes, you remember lamb chops?
That's right. I know. I just haven't paid attention to the spelling. Sherry Lewis was born in 1933.
That's how one of our previous pastors spells her name, too. Born January 17th, 1949, American actor and comedian Andy Kaufman.
Also born on that same date in 1964, American flyer and activist, the 46th First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama.
She's a lawyer. I thought you said flyer.
Yeah,
also turning 48 today is Russian-American animator, director, and producer Genndy Tartakovsky. You know what? He's 48 now, and he was producing stuff like 25 years ago. He was young when he was doing Dexter's Laboratory and Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So. That is amazing. Yeah, now I'll think about it. That's pretty good.
Oh, wait. Maybe it was 15 years ago. Sorry.
And last but not least, American singer, songwriter, and actress Zooey Deschanel was born on this date in 1980.
She was in Hitchhiker's Guide. Yes.
And New Girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listener birthdays today include... Is the music running out? The music's running out.
Hurry up.
I can't do these all in one breath.
You do it.
It would come out as garbly gook, and there are some people in here that I want to give the distinct honor to. So let the band play the end. Who's 44?
Hey, I want to.
Crazy Wikipedia. Donna's saying Michelle Obama is the 44th first lady, not the 46th.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, she's with Trump?
Well, maybe there. Maybe one of the first ladies got married twice, or the president got married. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Listener birthdays today include 17th is Fuffy Frog, a.k.a. Christina, originally from Canada, but now from Thailand. some letters got cut off there. It looks like it says Thailand.
She lives in Thailand?
Apparently. Well, as of this writing, but you know, some of these things are 10 years out of date.
We need to catch up with her and see.
We do need to catch up with her. Probably not likely that we're going to see her at Dragon Con again if she's from Thailand.
Yeah, she's in. Yeah, no kidding.
January 21st is the birthday of Michael Rabelais, a.k.a. Stingray 42. TAW012294. Why aren't you at your post?
Right. Somebody spam bot got in here.
Is on the 22nd. TAW012294. Why aren't you at your post?
Hey, somebody spam bot got in here. Happy birthday, TAW012294.
Or it's their flight number. I'm not sure. Yeah. Kathy Luke from Illinois is on the 23rd, as is Chris Moody from Patio Media Chat. And he was part of the Dog Days of Podcasting a couple times.
Yes.
Chris A. Moody Show.
He lives in Texas now.
And finally, last but not least, is our good friend of the show, Keith Lane from TG Geeks on the 23rd also.
Yes.
And out of curiosity, I had to look up when Ben's birthday is, and they are on opposite poles of the calendar.
What's this, like December?
July. He's in the middle of July. One's in July and one's in January.
Like, you said opposite. I'm thinking, okay, it's the other side of the year.
No, it's the... never mind. Greg, you can only go halfway around the world to be as far away from me as you can.
True words were never spoken.
Grover Cleveland was in there twice. Oh, so that makes her the 44th? Donna's doing research on us. And I can't... this show should not be based in fact. We've had 47 first ladies.
Okay.
Wouldn't that make them like the 47th lady? Where are we? We're on the news, right? And we're starting with, oh, some excellent news.
Good, excellent news.
Crybabies.
It is okay. Good news for the crybabies because one of our favorite specials on the National Geographic Channel is coming back. You know what I'm talking about. Cosmos is coming for a second season in the spring of 2019.
They're bringing back Firefly. No, wait.
Calm down. Neil deGrasse Tyson put out a tweet that said, they're putting the band back together. We're going to have the show. He said, you won't have to wait nearly as long for the second season of the new Cosmos as you did for the first. Well, yeah, what was it, about 30 years, 40 years for the
first? That's true.
Fox has announced that Cosmos, Possible Worlds, that's the title, will premiere worldwide in spring 2019, with Fox itself airing the show in the U.S. and National Geographic broadcasting it elsewhere. And yes, the familiar gang from the 2014 series is back. Astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson will host, with Andruyan taking charge. Seth MacFarlane, Brandon Braga, and Jason Clark will return as executive producers. The team isn't saying much about the overall focus of Possible Worlds, but they're promising to cover, quote, previously uncharted territories and hint about another, quote, virtually infinite number of worlds and stories to explore. Don't expect a carbon copy of A Spacetime Odyssey then. With that said, we'd expect some familiar themes to return. Both previous seasons cover the universe at virtually every possible scale, drew attention to influential, if sometimes unheralded, scientists, and stressed the importance of scientific process. It's hard to see Possible Worlds giving up those values, especially at a time when science is under attack.
I have a feeling that they're going to focus on outward planets, what things could be like. I'm just taking a guess there.
Well, it's called Possible Worlds, so
yeah,
probably taking that's theories of what. I'm excited just to watch it again. Neil's tweet says, yep, we got the band back together. Another season of Cosmos is officially real. Cosmos Possible Worlds to air on Fox TV and Nat Geo Channel in a year, spring 2019. Be there.
I can see the first episode previously on Cosmos.
And it shows his little silver letter opener.
Yeah. Anyway, I have a half of mind to actually go back and watch it because I did enjoy it.
It was very good.
I think it's on Netflix, I believe.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
Okay, would you like to take the next science-y story?
Sure. Why not? So X-rays aren't just for investigating artworks or photography. Black holes, or I guess checking your bones. I'll throw that in there too. NASA scientists just want them to demonstrate a new technique. Navigating the stars. The crazy dog. In an experiment, equipment mounted on the International Space Station measured radiation beamed out of distant neutron stars in millisecond pulses. By timing their arrival, future spacecraft could find their location from deep space.
That's good news, everyone.
Where's the rest of the article?
I don't know. It's a short article. That's okay. We have some great stuff coming up. Stick with us because there's a couple of reasons why these are short. We've got some real Technorama craziness coming up at the end. You don't want to miss this. So hang out with us listen on the podcast later when it comes out on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning.
By the way, that's like a tweet.
I know. One of those new long 280 character ones.
Yeah.
All right, from Slashdot, Warren Buffett, you know that really, really rich man? He's got more money in his pocket than I have in my whole portfolio.
Yeah.
He's not so fond of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. He says 97% of all Bitcoins are held by 4% of addresses. Isn't that like 1% of the, like 97%? What, 4% of the people hold 97% of the... Anyway,
That's
a report from Credit Suisse in an article cited by Slashdot reader Captain Dork.
Thanks, Captain.
There's a name if you want to build credibility. And elsewhere this week, Warren Buffett told CNBC that speculation in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, quote, will have a bad ending, adding that looking out 5 years, he'd gladly bet against all of the cryptocurrencies. Wow. You know, he's pretty smart guy and he's done all right so far. But, you know, even the old regime can be wrong sometimes.
See, my problem with cryptocurrencies, I can take credence in obviously what he says, but then I go, okay, well, you also don't know what you don't know. And I'm like, because cryptocurrencies are such a Wild West thing right now, I have a feeling that anything can happen or it could really end badly. So I go back to who knows.
Well, again, who knows what's happening with stock prices and stock markets? I mean, anytime you're, it's a tough call.
You can make an educated guess, but you know, again, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, 2 weeks, or a year from now.
Keep in mind, Chuck and Craig are not financial advisors. We have wives for that.
I can't finance the $5 in my pocket.
we can't finance this show. That's why we need your help and be a Patreon member.
I'm still trying to pick up a penny every day, and I can't do it.
See how financially stable this podcast is.
Yeah. Speaking of which, if you want to be a Patreon.
Right. We're not exactly solvent here.
Go to Patreon /. No, yeah.
We'll get there. We have a new Patreon member, by the way.
Yes.
Meanwhile, CNBC senior analyst Ron Insana has his own skepticism. He says, I am predisposed to view them as just speculative tokens in cryptocurrency bubble that has inflated more quickly than any other financial market history. Admittedly, I'm green with envy for failing to foresee the explosive rally in the price of Bitcoin when I first brought to my attention several years ago, as am I. Now, I remember somebody saying, oh, it's up to 400.
Mm-hmm.
Although that would have been six, seven years ago when I first got that tip.
Do you own any cryptocurrencies?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
Having said that, it's way too risky for where I am in my portfolio management in this stage of life. That being said, having said that, there are many things I find quite ironic about how Bitcoin and other cryptos are described. First, they are largely denominated or discussed in U.S. dollar items. If the dollar is archaic, as the cryptocurrency enthusiasts believe, why not speak only in crypto terms? Because you need something to relate it to normal people. It's a bit like, you know, when you come out with a new system of measurement, you have to be able to convert to the old one for a while until people latch on to what the value is of the new one.
Well, hey, and we to give that some context, we had trouble explaining the internet to some people.
Yeah.
And now it's ubiquitous. So
The article notes that the U.S. dollar still accounts for 65% of all global economic transactions due to its status as the world's reserve currency and concludes that, quote, the adoption of cryptocurrencies as a global source of funds has a long way to go before staking a claim to the world's economy, unquote. I'm following Warren at this point.
Well, you know, see, the thing, some of the things that I had trouble, one, getting my head wrapped around is when you go, okay, a Bitcoin is worth, was it $14,000?
Oh, somewhere between $14,000 and $19,000. It's some ridiculous amount.
Yeah. So then right there, it sounds like the barrier entry is way up there. I have to have $14,000 to buy one Bitcoin. Well,
no, I think you can, but you can buy partials or you go in on,
that's what I'm getting at. Yeah. But then you start to get it. Somebody had to explain to me, oh yeah, you can get part of a Bitcoin. I'm like, oh, you know, so it's not like you can wrap your head around pennies, quarters, dollars, you know.
Right.
Anyway, that's what I'm getting at.
And that's my 2-bit cents.
You said,
oh, there's a bun shaving a haircut.
2-Bitcoin cents. Yeah. I don't know.
Bitcoin, I turned into a keychain.
Right.
Who knows? Someday that's what they might be worth. Novelty items. All right, let's
take not a real thing. That's the whole point. It's not a real thing.
Let's take. I could sell them then. Bitcoin keychains.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
John Miller told me to let it go. Firefly is done. Finito, deader than disco.
We've heard that comment many times with relation to you and Firefly.
Never again. I'm always a brown coat.
We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the interesting part of the show. As if this first part wasn't interesting. Hang on with us.
Spine-tingling, nerve-shattering podcast featuring all your favorite monsters. You won't believe your ears when you listen to Monster Kid Radio. Hear your host, Derek M. Cook, and his ever-rotating stable of guests discuss your favorite classics and sometimes not-so-classic monster movies. Subscribe to Monster Kid Radio through iTunes or Stitcher, or visit monsterkidradio.net before the next weekly episode of Monster Kid Radio. Go through the archives for interviews with Sarah Karloff, Victoria Price, and Joel Hodson. Listen to discussions about movies like Creature from the Black Lagoon, Island of Terror, and King Kong. And don't forget convention coverage from Monster Bash and the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival, Classic Monsters, Modern Talk, and the head of Rondo Hatton, only on Monster Kid Radio.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
That sounded like a good podcast.
Yeah, so what? Actually, for a moment, I thought, is that tea?
It sounded like tea at the beginning, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did. Sure did.
Don't believe it was. Would you like to talk about butterflies, Craig?
Yes, I love butterflies. Oh, you mean the story? Yeah, sure.
Schmetterling.
So, Romy McCloskey. McCloskey. Anyway, a professional costume designer from Texas who also raises monarch butterflies as a hobby recently received a lot of praise online after a series of photos of her using household items to fix the deformed wing on one of her butterflies went viral. And by the way, when they said fix the wing with household items, I'm thinking she grabbed like some Windex and stuff from under the, I was like, okay, I got to read this article and see what it's, yeah, what she's talking about. So McCloskey apparently started raising monarch butterflies, releasing them in the wild a while ago. And recently she noticed one of the insects was born with a broken left wing. As a result, excuse me, I'm getting choked up here.
It's like Nemo, lucky wing.
Right. The butterfly kept going in circles. No. So she noticed that one of the insects was born with a broken wing. As a result, the injury sustained while pupating.
Pupating.
Yes.
Pupating.
She's going through puberty and cannot fly. So monarchs can live for up from 2 weeks to about 5 months. But without the ability to fly, this little guy was not going to live very long. So Romy, who describes herself as a master hand embroiderer, decided to use her skills to help him out. Using the left wing of the female monarch butterfly that had died of natural causes, as well as a household supply of supplies like paper towel and a towel, a hanger, contact cement. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say paper towel. It's just regular towel. A toothpick, a cotton swab, scissors, tweezers, and some talc powder. The amateur butterfly breeder set out to fix the delicate wing of the butterfly. First she fixed the tiny insect in place with a ribbon made from a wire hanger. I guess so she could hold it still. She used the hook of it. It looks like she made a loop out of it. Then she proceeded to cut off the deformed parts of this wing. A painless process, since butterflies don't have nerve endings. How do you know? How do you really know? She compared the process to cutting hair or trimming fingernails. The dedicated butterfly caretaker then used glue to attach the wing to the dead female butterfly. While the black lines didn't quite match, I would argue it looks pretty close. And the wing implant lacked the characteristic black dot of the female monarchs. The repaired wing looked a lot better than it did before. All that was left to do is see if the little butterfly would take flight.
But instead, the testing
of the wing right after surgery, quote unquote, Romy decided to give the butterfly a chance to recover its strength after a reconstructive procedure. So she let it rest overnight and fed it lots of homemade nectar. The next day, she took it out to their backyard and released it.
Thanks, Mom.
And it fell to the ground. No, I'm just kidding. The butterfly took off, and after a quick lap around the yard and a quick rest on a bush, probably to calm its nerves, the little guy flew away.
It worked.
Yeah. That's not too bad.
That's very interesting, because you'd think the added weight of the contact cement and where it's overlapping would throw off its balance or something. I'm surprised that it actually worked.
Yeah. My concern is, okay, so how long does a butterfly wing that's not being sustained by its host, not deteriorate?
A long time. Have you ever been to museums?
That's true.
Where they got the butterflies pinned down. Oh, man, those things can be hundreds of years old.
That's true. So, that's pretty cool.
It's not living tissue. Like I said, it's almost like hair. It's not going anywhere.
You know, and they said in the article that it didn't really match up, but I would argue that lines look pretty good considering.
We have a chat room every week when we do this presentation.
Yes.
I'm trying to be formal about this. Never mind. Join us Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern time on Facebook. We'd love to see you there. Or you can catch us on YouTube. Yes.
Hold on. Before you move any further, John Miller Jr. says, then it was eaten by a bird. The end.
He got hit by a truck. He's now on the front end of a Chevy. Yeah.
Oh, he's alive. He's alive. Whoa. Burr, burr.
Fly, be free. You're sick, Craig.
He's the one that said it.
You're sick, John. Eaten by a bird. I didn't see that comment come up. Did my comment thing die?
There
we go. Okay. Yep. We have some people in the chat. And we have John Miller Jr. We have Loriana Byers Miller, my cousin. She seems to be popping up here and there. And that's about it for tonight. A small crowd, but we'd love to see you there. Join us Sunday night.
Wait a minute. I see Tim Elliott, JT Shea.
Where are you seeing these people?
I'm just scrolling through the chat. So we got John Miller Jr.
Go back that far or something.
We got JT Shea. All right, Kathy good. Kirkland. Yeah, Kathy Kirkland Branch. That's Kim's aunt. Tim Elliott. Taylor Comstock, a co-worker.
Yes.
Your buddy Scott Tyler, who I saw today.
He was over here today.
And John Miller, Yeah, and your sister. Yep.
Which one?
Oriana Byers Miller.
That's my cousin.
I'm sorry, cousin. Excuse me.
Looks a lot like my sister.
Okay.
All right. Well, you're now in charge of the shout outs on the chat room because apparently mine don't work.
Well, what I did was I have the thing streaming on another browser, and I got the comments just under the other whether my
stop hitting the keyboard one. When we're trying to read the live document here.
Yeah,
we're going to the Patreons. Play that Patreon music. Thank you very much to our Patreon patrons. If you want to be part of this gang, go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. And you can be part of the show, contribute to its overall health and well-being, graft wings onto butterflies, and save the world. Well, something like that.
Yeah.
For as little as a dollar a show, we have such patrons as Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Leon, John Noble, Amy Bowen, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, member number one, Kyle Nishioka, Jorga Schrawin, who's among our elite veterans, John Clifford, and last but not least, who just joined this week, Gary Lindros. Thank you very much to Gary and the rest of them. Thank you. We appreciate your support. They went over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast or visit the Technorama website at chuckchat.com/technorama. The suffixes are killing me today. And click the Patreon.
By the way,
Patreon.
If you want to catch up with us and Gary, you can go to the topicistrek.com and listen to our Star Trek episode.
Yes, I was going to mention that one more time. Thank you. Yeah, Gary was a guest on the Topic is Trek.
I told him he thanked us for letting us come on, letting him come on the show. I was like, that's great. And then he said, going to come back again. I said, yeah, drop in like Q.
Yeah. Wreak havoc and leave.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
That brings us to what part of the show?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
This is going
to
be my favorite part.
Information about music and TV and videos and things. Over here in the media corner.
All right, take these in order. We are going to cover every one of these. These are strangest things. The 11 weirdest gadgets at CES 2018, because this is Technorama, and it was CES week, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. We couldn't be there, but our news correspondents at stuff.tv are helping us out with the weird stuff.
Yes.
The first thing up is the Kohler Numi.
Kohler being the toilet company. Well, so I guess they make
plumbing fixtures. Yes. In this fast-paced 24/7 world, sometimes the only place where you can get a quiet 5 minutes to yourself is on the throne. So you might as well make sure it's as luxurious as possible. Kohler's high-end Numi toilets have been around for a few years, but this latest version can be voice-controlled. Opens and closes automatically as you approach, and even preheats the seat exactly to your liking. Because that's a problem when it's too hot. If you've got one of Kohler's Verdera mirrors, you can even hook it up to your Amazon Echo so you can ask Alexa to play encouraging music through the Numi's built-in speaker while you make the necessary deposits.
Hey, I can see your kid going, "Hey, Dad, I'm not feeling good. I'm gonna think I'm gonna throw up. Hey, go get to the toilet. Toilet open."
Alexa, I think I'm gonna puke.
Alexa,
proceed to the Numi. The Numi is open and accepting your deposit. All right, you get the next one. This looks like
it's heated, so your hands won't. Anyway.
This looks like it's straight out of Japan, crossed with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. This could be Marvin's girlfriend.
Yeah, this is a curry. Well, there's no doubt there's no doubting the tech that has gone into curry. It is impossible to shake the feelings that this little domestic robot is a little creepy. It looks all in. What? It looks all in.
I was giggling because of Donna's good timing when she put the picture up right as you said, creepy.
Bing. It all looks innocent enough on the website. Curry will play music and podcasts for you. That's nice. Curry will listen as your kids read the same story to it for 1,000 times. That's nice. Curry will welcome you home and from work every day. Curry will also make videos of you arguing over how to load your dishwasher properly. Curry will silently watch you as you get undressed for bed. Curry will stand expressionless at the top of the stairs while you lay at the bottom and you pull up your own blood. Never thought that'd be a funny visual. Wow. Didn't manage to get a video of that, did you, Curry? Curry.
John Miller Jr. was saying about the toilet. He said, program it to say, what the bleep? What have you been eating?
You could have it read Trump's quotes. I think it would kind of go along with the toilet.
The tweets?
Yeah. What kind of crap hole is this?
Also found is the Toyota e-pallet. Nice call, Craig. The Toyota e-pallet. There's an episode in the latest series of Charlie Brooker's Black Mirror in which a self-driving pizza delivery vehicle is involved in an unfortunate accident. I saw that. Very good episode. We're not saying Toyota's engineers have been spending too much time watching Netflix and not enough designing the future of takeaways, but the e-pallet does look remarkably familiar. The company's vision has the prototype autonomous pod functioning as everything from a mobile hotel to an Italian restaurant on wheels. Whatever it ends up being, let's hope Mr. Booker's show doesn't turn out to be too prescient.
The Modius. Some people will seemingly try to attempt to lose weight, except eat healthier and do some exercise.
Of course.
So if you know someone with more money than willpower, point them to the direction of the Modius, slightly scary looking headgear. The device uses electrical impulses to simulate the part of the brain that researchers reckon decreases appetite and helps you reduce body fat. Modius says that you should notice a difference in wearing it just for an hour a day, which is probably all I could take. Actually, I've already got electrical impulses. I get notifications on my watch.
Please stand up.
Get down. Yeah. Not everybody's convinced of the claim. I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead.
Not everybody's convinced by these claims, with the skeptics pointing out that the company's research isn't thorough enough. Hint. But it doesn't prove that it doesn't work either. Anything to help us stop eating all those cakes.
I think it could take another episode of Black Mirror and just blur out the cupcakes so we don't see them, and then they won't look good to us, and then you won't eat them.
I'm not finished with this episode, this season yet.
Okay, so. Neither are we. We watched 4 of 6.
Okay.
So we take them in almost weekly installments just to, A, prolong the thought process, and yeah, you can't binge that show.
Okay. So you're coining a new term called slow binging.
Next up is the Foldymate.
Foldymate.
No matter how cherished your friendships are, your mates aren't planning on dropping by to fold your clothes. That's where the Foldymate comes in, the rather hefty machine that's capable of neatly folding 20 to 40 items in less than 5 minutes. It'll even chew up and spit out pristinely presented bed sheets. Your folding days are over, right? Now, there are a few creases we should iron out. Firstly, it's the size of a photocopier, and just as unsightly. Secondly, it's not expected to be on sale until the end of 2019. And most importantly, it's inept when it comes to socks or your unmentionables. Can it do fitted sheets? Donna, we might have to invest in this for the Airbnb.
And for that reason, I'm out.
Oh, no, the cat got into the Foldymate.
Actually, you know what? I saw this great little, call it a hack. You can take a piece of cardboard and you cut it just right. You lay your shirt on it, and it kind of gives you a template to fold the shirt. You just go pop, 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 and it's done. I can save you $400 by just giving you a piece of cardboard. I'll sell you a piece of cardboard for $200. How about that?
I'll sell you one that says free awkward hugs on it, and it folds up.
Yeah, and it folds up. That's right. So Kodak is.
Remember Kodak? The people who used to make film and cameras? They're back.
Actually, they were in the news for starting to produce some film, actually.
Yeah. Well,
some sought after film. Anyway, so an unexpected announcements go. As unexpected announcements go, Kodak creating its own Bitcoin style cryptocurrency is up there with Red Bull launching a range of sleeping pills, which, just to be clear, hasn't been done. The idea behind Kodak Coin is that it will be used to reimburse photographers who have had their images stolen.
What?
Okay. With accompanying software trawling the web for offending snaps. Although experts doubt the effectiveness of the scheme, the photographic company has also created its own Bitcoin mining rigs, which look a bit like traps. Venkman
used to catch ghouls on Ghostbusters.
No, I was choked on myself. Traps Venkman used to catch ghouls on the Ghostbusters movie, and will make them available for rent for far less than mining at home would. And you know, part of the whole Bitcoin thing, which we talked about, relies on other people's computers verifying the transactions, and that's where you'd be at Bitcoin mining and all that kind of stuff. So I can see your value in that. If you buy, you get a bunch of these and put them in a rack.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? I'd have to see what the specs are on this thing. Seems like you could just go out and buy a bunch of Raspberry Pis and do the same thing.
No, you need something with some. Actually, you know what people buy?
What?
Video cards. They use the GPUs to do the complex mathematics.
Huh. Okay.
To do the crypto and encryption stuff, whatever.
All right.
But yeah, I was like, NVIDIA graphics cards? Yeah, there were actually a shortage of the cards because people were buying them for crypto mining.
How many monitors do you need, people?
No, they were just using the GPUs.
I understand. I'm trying to be funny here. Okay. Never mind. Moving on. The AEE Selfly. Okay. Phone case with a selfie light. Not enough for you? How about one that doubles as a selfie-snapping drone? AEE's Selfly uses a built-in camera rather than one on your phone. You need that to fly it with. And can shoot stills at 1080p, 60-frame video. Oh, shoot stills or 1080p, 60-frame per second video. Four flip-out propellers help it hover for up to 4 minutes, although if you've remembered to bring a second battery, you can double it if you're struggling to nail the perfect shot. Of course, if the drone's taking a picture of you, it's technically no longer a selfie, but let's not get into that.
Droning.
It's a drone.
Actually, there was a Kickstarter that looked promising. It looked interesting. There was a drone about the size of a cell phone, kind of like just like this, but the propellers were self-contained, but you would put your hand out and basically just let it go in the air, take a picture of yourself, and then you just take it back. It was like, it looked really great, but that had to been like a year or two ago. I don't know what happened to that.
Set a 3-second timer and go 3, 2, 1, throw your phone in the air.
Yeah. Not behind you.
You know what? I would have a temptation to try something like that. Read the next one. We've got a couple more to go.
Do that with your old phone. So, Somnox.
Love the product Somnox names.
Actually, never mind. I'm not going to say anything about the picture. A kidney-shaped cushion that breathes might sound like an idea from the first draft of a Nightmare on Elm Street. I would say so. But that's exactly what the Somnox sleep robot is. The idea is that you cuddle with it, and when you go to bed, and the rhythm of the breathing will eventually match that of the robot and make it easier to drift off. It even plays lullabies, white noise, or audiobooks. I'm going to add podcasts in there, too. I'm going to throw
and
that in.
And then it snores.
It simulates a partner. There's science to back all this up, but we can't help but think that it'll lead to strange dreams about your bed clothes and soft. Anyway, I'm not going to go there. So, yeah. Actually, you know
best,
what?
Best not to load it up with Metallica's Enter Sandman, man.
You know, yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. You know what? You see something like this and you wonder, how did we ever sleep before?
I got one for you. The Hip Air. Do drunken nights out leave you lying on the pavement, cursing the lack of wearable airbag or to cushion your coordination issues? The Hip Air is here to save you. We're being terribly facetious, of course. This belt full of air is actually a solution to a quite serious problem, particularly for the elderly. Falls can be fatal, and the Hip Air claims that its products will take 90% of the impact after the tumble. It goes on sale in Europe in the spring for about 600 euros and has a battery life of up to a week. So you can wear it all the time in blissful peace that your hips are protected from any fall. Should you not fall for that week, well, you'll be wearing that ridiculous thing for nothing. Are these constantly deployed, or do they deploy on the way down?
Just for those of you that are just listening on audio only, this looks like you got two airbags on your right and left hip.
When they talk about saddlebags, this is the image I have. It looks
ridiculous.
I have to imagine these deploy on the imminent prospect
of falling.
Like if
you start to tilt too much?
Yeah, like if the deceleration or you start to accelerate downwards.
You know, I could see it we're at Knowledge or some conference like that, and somebody goes, "Hey, Chuck," and pushes you, you know, just like being a goofball. And
in high school. I always got tripped in high school. This saved my life.
Or my right one deploys and I fell on the left somehow. I don't.
Oh, you put it on backwards that day. Hey, when you put your safety belt on backwards, so uncomfortable. Anyway, read the next one. It looks uncomfortable.
The L'Oreal UV Sense.
L'Oreal, you know, like the makeup company.
That's what I meant to say. What did I say?
L'Oreal.
I'm thinking of Star Trek.
On Discovery.
Yeah. There are two ways to avoid sunburns. Use your eyes. just like that.
You want me to continue? Craig can't continue with this.
I'm sorry. That just sounded.
Use your eyes. And an app like Wolfram Sun Exposure to make sure you're on top of the factor 50. Or get this little fingernail-based sensor to do the work for you.
Again, how did we ever live?
It looks like something Data would peel back his thumbnail for.
I know.
All right. This next one reminds me of a show I was watching about conspiracy theory and Central and South American dictators dying of cancer, particularly the cancer starting in their groin. There was a conspiracy theory that we had sent them what they were calling cancer pants, which had like uranium interwoven in the fabric. Well, this will stop them. The Spartan anti-radiation boxers. Most pairs of pants only do one job, to protect innocent bystanders from the glimpse of your family jewels. But Spartan's high-tech boxers want to ensure the survival of the human race. The company behind them thinks keeping your phone in your pocket could be impacting male fertility. So these budgie smugglers are made with 35% silver fibers woven into the fabric, creating a wearable Faraday cage that blocks 99% of mobile and Wi-Fi signals.
You don't need that. Just get married, have kids, and now I don't care about my fertility anymore.
Then you do want a phone in your pants. I'll take the iPhone radiation plutonium powered pack. Thank you. All right. Our last one is just kind of for fun.
By the way, you know what was really sad? Is I zoomed on this page so it was easier to read, and I scroll up and there's the guy in the boxers zoomed in. I didn't really need to
Jimmy
see that.
In your face. All right. There's one in the Geek Library just for fun. This comes to us from geeksaresexy.net. I saw this come up on the feed and I had to put it up here. It's got Batman and Robin, and Robin says, "Batman, the Batmobile won't start. Check the battery." And Robin looks at him and says, "What's a turry?" Battery. That was pretty clever from the
what's a jury?
The artist concept, just to take a word that starts with bat.
I'm just glad that Batman didn't slap Robin like you see all over Facebook.
We need the Batman slap.
Poor Robin.
Okay, what is this question this week? Which superhero or villain would you pick a fight with. Hint, you have no superpowers.
Just in case you weren't sure.
The bucket of water guy. Done.
Gleep from the Super Friends.
No, man. He's terror.
Actually, he was probably the one that was most fierce.
Right. He's nimble. Yeah. All right. That brings us to the end of the show. As Craig mentioned, we do have another podcast that we do with Clinton Alvord over at Comedy Forecast called The Topic is Trek. You can find that at thetopicistrek.com. We just did a show number 12, and we're doing it every other week. So we've been at this for about 6 years. We're
pacing ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to overwhelm the internet with all this podcasting excellence at once.
If you like Star Trek, we invite you to go over to thetopicistrek.com and give a listen. We'd love to have you subscribe. Be part of that fun as well. It's nothing like this show. Nothing.
Sure.
Okay, maybe a little. Maybe a lot. Yeah. A lot. Well, 2/3 of the hosts are there from this show.
That's right. Stupid law of averages.
We have a lot of Trek news. You'd be surprised at how much Trek news we can find in a couple of weeks.
Oh, my God. And especially now.
It is an every other series thing. From good news to sad news, we had some sad news this past week. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving right along, let's get out of here. It's been a lot of fun. Don't forget, sign up and become a Patreon, and you can get that exclusive content from us, that we come out with just for the Patreon people, which we will be recording right after this show, and it comes out on Monday. Or does it come out on Tuesday? I don't know. Whatever Craig does.
Monday. I release it the first thing Monday.
Call us on the listener line at 707-530-2428. 707-530-2428. We want to hear from you like Crazy Joe did last week. We know that listener line still works. Put us on speed dial under I for idiocy.
Yeah. Sure.
Send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. And we will be in touch with you on the internet as well. So until next time, we appreciate you telling a friend about Technorama. Subscribe, get some fun in your life, play it in the car. Craig, give us a binary high five and we're out of here.
101, get in the car, quick.